May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The lady in the icon shop may not have understood his English, even though the man in front of her spoke with the clear enunciation of a Church of England vicar. And sadly, his Greek had been learnt at university and was about 2,000 years out of date. He was asking, did she have an icon of Jesus' resurrection? Yes, she said. And she pointed to the wall behind her, and there they were, all up on the wall, a whole sequence, starting with Palm Sunday, and then the Last Supper, and then Calvary, and then the resurrection icon, and then the one for Ascension, and then the one for Pentecost. But he said, that isn't Jesus' resurrection. That's Jesus raising Adam and Eve out of their graves at the general resurrection at the last day. Haven't you got one of Jesus' own resurrection? That is resurrection, she said firmly, smiling at his theological incompetence. Stuck in his ignorance, he smiled back and bought a small icon of St. Paul and left. I'll tell you in a minute why I'm talking about the resurrection 6 months late, on the last but one Sunday of the Christian year. But first of all, a little more about this typical East-West muddle. Of course, both the vicar and the icon lady were correct. For the Orthodox, Easter was the general resurrection. And we might wave our arms about and say phrases like in principle or in a real sense. But what we mean is we have to say something like this, but we don't know quite how to say it. But we in the Western Church prefer to separate these two historical events, not least, so we say to ourselves, because the world is still in such a sad and wicked mess that it doesn't make sense to speak of the resurrection of the dead as having already happened. But when you think about it, Christ's victory on that first Easter is not different at all from his victory on the last day. And unless we see the two in relation to each other, we diminish the power of Christ's resurrection. And what made me think about Easter was our first reading this morning, the opening verses of Daniel 12. They became the favorite text that rabbis used at Jewish funerals, and they are about resurrection. At that time, Michael the great prince, the protector of your people, will arise. There will be a time of anguish such as never occurred since nations first came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness shall shine like the stars forever and ever. Lovely words. And I was reminded of them again this morning when I took the dog for a walk early, and there the sun hadn't risen quite yet, and there was the planet Venus and that astonishingly blue sky. Now, in Christian thought, this was, of course, joined on to our belief in the resurrection of Jesus. Our future resurrection is still awaited. The anguish of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus have already happened. So please forgive the antiquated metaphor, but Easter is then the check that is written and signed, but not yet cashed in for us. So, a new creation began at Easter. Daniel's language about people of dust becoming like the sky and the stars is a way of saying just that. As we move towards the end of the Christian year next Sunday, our focus is turned towards the victory of Christ, not only at the personal level, but also at the cosmic level. His victory should be seen as the accomplishment of the new covenant. As ancient prophecies are fulfilled, Christian life is designed to take place not in an atmosphere of fear and anxiety about whether God is, after all, gracious and forgiving. Quite the opposite. It is to be lived in the certainty that by faith in God's goodness, we have a permanent access to God's presence. Now, in our readings this morning, there are lots of references to the temple, to the old temple, where the priests had to offer animal sacrifices day by day in order to reassure people that their sins were forgiven. The Old Testament temple of Jerusalem at best symbolized God's presence and our access to God. But at its worst, it restricted that access to a chosen few. It was that restriction that Jesus and his followers used to blame for the coming destruction in 70 AD of that temple. Jesus and the temple are thus bound to be set in opposition to each other. And that temple, which had once stood for so much, was very shortly to stand for nothing at all. All that's left of it now is that wailing wall. Now, put your fingers in your ears if you don't like politics in your sermons. But I'm afraid Jesus put it in our gospel, so I can't get away from it. We still live, even now, in a world of wars and rumours of wars. It is a world where old alliances are being broken and the future is uncertain. It is right that we should listen to Jesus' warnings given to those people 2,000 years ago and carefully apply those warnings to the time still ahead of us now. What does he say? Well, what he does say to those who want him to predict the future is nothing at all. He refuses to predict the details of what is going to happen. But what he does do is to tell us not to believe propaganda, not to believe people who are feeding us lies and fake news, and not to believe any who set themselves up as demagogues and false gods. He says that conflicts and disasters are inevitable. But he urges us never to lose heart. These events are the birth pangs of a new age. He spoke about the Jerusalem temple, which was to become a ruin only a few decades later, and all its meaning and significance would soon disappear. His sacrifice became the universal one, the one in which we all share. We should ask ourselves if there remain any temples and any other shibboleths that should be set aside so that the glories of the true Easter can at last come in all their fullness. Amen.